Let us pray. O God, you who are the giver of each new day, we praise and give thanks to you. Empower us to live fully in this day with our whole being. Deliver us by faith from anxiety about a future we cannot control. Deliver us by grace from guilt about a past we cannot change. Deliver us by the coming of your present Spirit from getting bogged down in the trivia of the present. Through our worship today, help us to become who you have created us to be. Through Christ we pray. Amen. I'm pleased to be able to introduce today's speaker, Dr. Lewis McBurney. Dr. McBurney is director of the Marble Retreat Center in Marble, Colorado. He is a graduate of Baylor University. I met him first in 1957 when I started to Baylor, and our friendship began shortly after that and has continued to the present time. Upon his completion of his work at Baylor, he went to medical school and I went to the seminary. Our paths sort of reconverged now because of some interests he has in the ministry. He finished his medical degree at Baylor University Medical School and received residency training at the Mayo Clinic, where he received a Falk Fellowship from the American Psychiatric Association. He did another year of residency as a senior resident working for the National Health Service in psychiatry in England. He and his wife, Melissa, began to have a vision of a ministry to ministers and their families during the time he was in his residency at the Mayo Clinic. And they conceived of having a retreat center where ministers who were in crisis, who were experiencing emotional difficulty, could go to take their family, could find a place, a space for themselves in privacy to deal with and work through their particular problems. He is the author of a book, Every Pastor Needs a Pastor, recently published by Word. Established this retreat center in 1973 and has been pursuing this since that time. Lewis's friends, when he told them what he was going to do, thought he was crazy. There were some of us who thought he was crazy when he was at Baylor. And I still think he is a bit crazy. And I think that one of his goals and objectives is to help ministers, people like myself, to recognize and appreciate and accept our own craziness and to set aside the need to look so perfect. And perhaps that's one of his ministries at Marble Retreat Center. It's a unique ministry, something that has received considerable attention by different denominational leaders in our country. And I am glad to be able to present him to you to be heard after the choir brings the anthem.
And every mountain. believe if I could take the choir and organ back to Marble, Colorado, I'd have chapel every day there. That's a real blessing to me to be able to come and participate with you. I'm glad to be able to be here. And I might just say before I begin my speech that I was not the only crazy one at Baylor University. I wouldn't want to enlarge on that at all. At Marble Retreat, we try to give counsel and therapy to ministers and their families who are hurting and a bit bogged down in life and in their ministry. And I have opportunity over this last 6 or 7 years to see many men and their families who are sort of the casualties from serving the Lord, because it's not all sweetness and light out there. So it's kind of a good opportunity for me as a psychiatrist to be able to come to a seminary and perhaps say a word or two to you who are preparing yourselves to go out there and do battle. I don't know how often you have to have a psychiatrist here or how many psychiatrists you know. We're the butt of an awful lot of jokes. You have to have a pretty thick skin to be a psychiatrist. I've heard that one way you can tell psychiatrists is that when one psychiatrist meets another one, he says, "You're okay, how am I?" I think of the things that I pondered telling you, and believe me, there were many, and hardly able to fit them into a 15-minute segment of time. The most important, I think, would have to do with how you feel and how you relate to yourself as a person. I'd want to say just three things. One is to get to know yourself. I see a lot of people and a lot of ministers who come to Marble Retreat who really haven't ever taken the time in life to stop and find out who they are. Who am I? What am I like? What are my good points, my bad points, my strengths, my weaknesses? Who am I? Because so often we get shoved into certain molds, certain role expectations, and that becomes our identity. And that can get us into problems, trying to be what other people and our culture, our denomination, our spouses sometimes, our parents, what all of the others expect us to be. Their expectations may be valid, and those may be things you want to be. But think it through and get to know yourself and who you really are. The second point is to come to accept yourself. I suppose of all the basic problems people bring to Marble Retreat, probably 90% have underlying everything else an extremely low self-image. Think of themselves as basically worthless, often very guilt-ridden about not living up to the expectations they've accepted, and feeling pretty lousy about who they are, feeling they're not worth very much. As you think about yourself and get to know yourself, you'll come to realize that a lot of the ideas you have about who I am came from very early impressions in life. First, our parents begin to tell us who we are, even before there's any verbal exchange. An infant, a newborn, begins to sense either warmth and acceptance and approval and joy and excitement from the parents who hold him, or else he begins to sense rejection, disappointment, unhappiness, tension, anxiety. And that begins immediately to be laid down as in the memory bank, particularly on a feeling level. Then if you notice around you, and perhaps some of you are parents, I'm sure you are, you'll know that a lot of times you say things to your children that are reflecting your feelings of the moment, but may not necessarily be reflecting your accurate assessment of the child. But we say things like, "You stupid kid," and we say things like, "Can't you ever do anything right?" or you can't ever do anything right. And those kinds of statements add on and pile up. Follow a mother around the grocery store with a child someday and keep score of how many positive things are said and how many negative things are registered. And they all add up. And most of the folks that come to Marvel Retreat really don't have a very good idea of who they are, and certainly don't accept who they are. So come to accept yourself. Know who you are and be able to accept that. Because God made you, He created you, He knows you. I like the psalmist words that before I was ever born, God knew me in my mother's womb and saw as things fit together part by part. God knows you. He loves you. You should come to love and accept yourself. I think a lot of us who are in some kind of Christian ministry are uncomfortable with that at times. After all, we're supposed to deny self, aren't we? And take up our cross and follow the Lord. And we have a feeling that to accept ourselves is puts us in danger of becoming self-centered and egocentric and selfish, prideful. You know what I've discovered as a psychiatrist is that those who have the lowest self-esteem, who have the most uncertainty about themselves as a person and dislike themselves the most, are those who become most self-centered. Because as that thing we call self, that being we sense, is threatened and weak and we feel is not adequate, we spend a lot of time and energy shoring that up or defending it. And I find the most self-centered people, often the most prideful people, are those who are going around often talking about giving self up, but really don't accept themselves. You know, I was thinking that if we are to give ourselves to God as a gift, we have to feel good about that gift we give. When you give a gift to a loved one, do you give them something that you feel is shabby and worthless? No, it's hard to give that kind of gift. And accepting yourself and giving an acceptable being back to its creator is all right. And then finally, as you leave seminary and get out into your ministries, I would recommend that you learn to be yourself. You're going to begin to meet a lot of pressures out there, expectations of yourself, and particularly of your congregations or the people you're ministering to, and your colleagues. And unless you've come to a point where you know who you are and can accept yourself, it's going to be very difficult for you to continue to be yourself comfortably in that new setting. The pressures will be there for you to conform to the expectations of everyone around. And that's a dangerous position to be in. I'd say you need to learn to accept yourself physically. You need to learn to, in our culture, I think there's a lot of pressure on us to be the beautiful people. James Dobson says that it's a shame that that's the case, because just as our skin begins to clear up, our mind gets fuzzy. I think, oftentimes we find ourselves in that position, never able to be quite what we think our culture demands physically. Some of you are very beautiful people physically. Some of us are not very beautiful physically, and it's kind of a shame to sort of go out into the world feeling like, I'm not a very attractive person. We have a lot of people at the retreat who really have suffered most of their lives with a real negative idea of themselves and a real tough time meeting people and relating, because they have an image of themselves, their physical being, as not being acceptable. Accept yourself physically. Be yourself physically. You're all right the way you're put together. You don't have to be a He-Man or a beauty queen to be acceptable as a human being, as a person. Take care of yourself physically. I think this is a problem for many ministers. I think ministers are a lot like physicians. We don't like our own weaknesses. We like to be Superman and feel like we're the great healer and the omnipotent one. And we don't like the idea that we may be vulnerable and that we actually could be sick or susceptible to some physical problem. Take care of yourself physically. It won't hurt. Part of that taking care of yourself physically is to meet your own sexual needs and to be comfortable with your own sexuality. You probably thought as a psychiatrist I'd get to that, didn't you? A fellow came into a psychiatrist's office one time. The psychiatrist was going to do some projective testing. You know, that's where you give the person a non-specific stimulus and then their response, you assume, is coming right out of their own experiences and unconscious. And so he took a piece of paper and drew a triangle and showed the man and said, what does this make you think of? And the fellow said, well, sex. He said, We have a special course in just how to say, It's important. You'll get that as you get into counseling courses. So then the psychiatrist drew a circle and showed the man, and the man really got uncomfortable this time, blushed a little, and he said, well, sex. The psychiatrist said, He drew a square and showed the man, says, what's that make you think of? And this time the guy really got mad, and he got up out of his chair and said, well, sex. The psychiatrist said, you really seem to have an obsession with sex. And he said, me? You're the one drawing those filthy pictures. Come to accept yourself physically, including your own sexuality. Accept yourself and be yourself emotionally. Learn to get in touch with your feelings and learn to express them in a way that's acceptable to you and to those around you. I think one of the problems we see over and over again is that the ministers who come to the retreat are isolated individuals, very lonely people, and often have themselves walled off from relationship. And the reason for that very often is that they have never gotten in touch with their own feelings, don't know themselves on a feeling level, and have never learned to express those feelings, never learned to relate on a feeling level. Be yourself on a feeling level. Then finally, I think I would say to be yourself spiritually. There's a real danger, I think, an occupational hazard for those in professional religious work to put on the garb and the trappings of religiosity and lose their own relationship to the living God. Take time to be with God. Remember that if you're going to feed people and lead people spiritually, you have to have a spiritual walk yourself. A lot of people come out of seminary all fired up and with a lot of zeal, enthusiasm, and theological knowledge, and they go out and get so enmeshed, and so occupied with doing things and programs that they're not being spiritually fed and enriched. And a couple of years down the way, you become dry and you really lose it. You don't have chapel every day and get to listen to fantastic speakers. So let me encourage you to be yourself spiritually, be able to relate to your God, to grow spiritually, to be able to express your doubts, your concerns. I hope that I never see any of you at Marble Retreat. But if I do, we'll love to get to know you and share life with you. Thank you for sharing this time with me.
Thank you, Lewis.
Let us stand for the benediction. And now may the grace of God, fully revealed in the face of Jesus Christ, touch you and transform you through the indwelling of His present Spirit.